1000 Watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 Watt 1180 WHAM.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. It's Sunday, the 24th of December, Anno Domini 2006, and you lucky people, you're listening to the Christmas edition of Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
And you almost scared the hell out of me. Good. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
That would be
you
a lot of
scaring. You said you're taking that big deep breath, and I thought you were going over backwards.
You know, speaking of the ho-ho-ho thing, I never did find those pictures of when I might have, you know.
Yeah, well, you find them. We'll take a look at them.
I was kind of disappointed because I really wanted to find it. I thought that would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
When, yeah, when Rob was just a little tyke, he's
well,
Santa.
The whole idea of sitting on Nick's lap is just, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we can arrange that.
He charges $10 now.
Yeah, I charge more now, but yeah. That's because I got less lap. I'm sitting in more of it than I used to myself. All right, we're here. It is Christmas Eve for those of you who celebrate Christmas. You have just a few hours left to do your shopping, and it looks like it's not going to be online, although we just found yet another cool online place. But
For future reference.
There's probably a company making Monday deliveries. The trick is finding a company making Sunday orders.
Yeah, right.
Not happening.
Well, I'm sure you can still get, what do you call them? Hello.
Gift cards.
Gift cards. Thank you.
Yep.
To do that and print them out and wrap them up and all of that, and then you'll get the real one at some later point, and that'd be fine.
Well, even right up to, I think probably midnight, you can still go to a number of spots where, like you said, you can get these gift certificates, have it emailed to the person, and they can literally go online and spend that money.
Right.
You
can have an email today.
Yeah.
And then it's a little Christmas Eve present. All right,
I should give a shout out to the folks down at Jesse Group. We're open today. I'll be down when I'm off the air.
Yeah.
for any of your last minute shopping gifts, we're open till 4.
Those LaCie network drives are phenomenal.
Yep.
I love mine. All right, Dell has issued a recall reminder to its users. Dell has issued a reminder to check their notebooks. For all you users, check if you have a Dell notebook. Make sure that you've returned any lithium-ion battery packs that were listed under the voluntary offer.
If you've got a Dell, Apple, or Lenovo notebook, check to see whether or not you're in the recall, and make sure you get that done, because if you don't, what happens is the batteries burst into flame. That's probably not what you were hoping to happen.
Technically only 2 or 3 out of the 6 million have actually been known to burst into flames.
Most of them just get overheated.
And one thing I want to mention, don't bother bringing it to like Steve or I or to sit there to expect it to be replaced.
We can't.
We don't carry those batteries.
And they're not allowed to replace them under this warranty recall system.
We can't get new batteries yet either because they're all going to the recall.
Right.
So, don't expect to come in and say, well, I need this replaced. One, if it is on the recall list, you're going to have to, check the number out. And have that send an email to them. They'll send you one, and then you got to pull that one out and send the bad one back. Sometimes,
that's the interesting thing.
I've heard some incidents where they've got to send it back and be without a battery for a little while.
Yeah, most of the companies I know, Apple does. They send you the new one before you have to send the old one back. But everyone's recommending you stop using the old battery just in case it overheats.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of limits the usefulness of a laptop.
Yes, it would. Yes.
Really long extension cord.
Right. All right. We're going to go to the phones. Our first caller is Bill from Greece, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Yes. Good morning. There's a site called processlibrary.com.
Yeah.
And they have some tools in there for, checking your computer out, because I'm having trouble with Thunderbird and I wanted to use some of their tools. I want to know what you thought, whether it's a safe thing to use or not. Are you familiar with it?
Well, what seems to be your problem with Thunderbird?
When I go to open my news groups and then I mark them as read, some of them, when I mark as read, and then I go back and look again and they reappear.
Do they have new content in them?
No, it always seems to be the same thing comes up. Like, it's like the 18th of December and older seems to be like it pops up every time. Same thing. So I was going to use, I was using Process Library to find out, you know, when I did Control-Alt-Delete, I was looking at all my programs in there and see if I had a bug in there.
Well, Process Library just lists, it's one of the programs we've talked, I don't think we talked about this one, we've talked about a few other ones recently, that list of the processes running in your computer,
right.
And then you have to know whether that's a good process or a bad process. It's very, very confusing for the average user to know that.
Yeah. Listen, we have to take a break. Hang on. Stay on the line, Bill. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 18 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. We've got Bill on the line. Now, Bill, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Under Thunderbird, for each of your news groups, you can set the age of the account, how long it will save things before it deletes them.
Okay.
If you've got that set to never delete, stuff will remain in your folder forever and may indeed be remarked as new.
No, it's not that way. I have it deleted after a certain length of time or whatever.
Okay. Then Steve had something else that he had found.
Yeah, there were a couple of people reporting the unread count was wrong. You know, it said there were 30 unread messages, and they knew there were only five.
Right, I got that.
Delete the .msf preference file in your profile directory under the news directory under the name of the news group.
Say that again.
If you find your Mozilla profile directory, which were documents and settings maybe?
Yeah, it's in the documents and settings folder.
Under profiles, under news, there will be a newsgroup name .msf for each of those news groups.
Mm-hmm.
And that MSF preference file remembers your read and unread settings.
Mm-hmm.
So delete that. Let it recreate it the next time you launch Thunderbird.
Right, then close Thunderbird.
Right.
It's going to be under, I believe, application data. Yes, it's under application data was where the... file will be.
Yeah, you can search for profiles, and it will find it that way, too.
Okay. And this process library looks like a pretty good thing, because you can put things in like dlg.execute. It'll tell you what programs associated with, what's safe, and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's a very nice little site, but it's not going to help you with this, because the problem is not a process running on your system. It's actually an error with a file inside Thunderbird.
Yeah, and I'm wondering what their suggestion there is, spyware coming soon. If you run Adware Spybot, those pretty much protect you as far as any spyware.
And a lot of companies are trying to come out with their own packages to get you to switch to them. The UniBlue company that runs this process library has a collection of software they'd like you to buy as well for security and registry settings and spy cleaning and things like that. So it's one of any number of companies that
another
sell
one
the same
that I've
stuff.
Got a. You've heard us, once in a while we've talked about the program called eWidow. Well, Grisoft has now bought an eWidow, and they call it AVG Spam Control. And it's a very good utility. I've been playing around with it, and it finds quite a bit of stuff. So, in conjunction with the other two.
Yeah, the real danger is the fake anti-spyware programs that pop up on your screen and say, for $20, we'll clean your spyware. And
yeah, you're infected, and you need to download this program to get it.
They may clean other people's spyware out, but they add a whole bunch of their own.
Add their own, and the only way, they say you're going to get rid of it is to buy this product. Well, it's theirs.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Before we go back to the phones, I should tell you, we talked about getting rid of those lithium-ion batteries. Panasonic now says they've made a safer lithium-ion battery. Matsushita Electric, which is better known as Panasonic, says it has made a safer lithium-ion battery that won't overheat, preventing the potential fire hazard that led to the recall earlier this year of millions of Sony batteries. Panasonic has developed a heat-resistant layer made of insulating metal oxide that would replace the polyolefin lining often used to separate cells within the battery pack. If a short circuit were to occur, the protective layer would prevent the battery from overheating and possibly bursting into flame. Dell did recall 4.1 million Sony-manufactured batteries after several fires were reported. The recall was the largest ever in the consumer electronics and industry. Other companies included Apple and also Hewlett-Packard. So the problem may well be solved by Panasonic. They said that even if there's a spark or a short circuit, it will cease without causing the battery to overheat. And Panasonic says it's ready to mass produce the safer battery. So we'll see what happens in the coming year.
We're also seeing a newer battery type, lithium polymer.
Right.
Which is still, it's lithium ion, but there's a polymer layer in it, and it provides a little better energy density, and they're working on greater capacity.
Right. That's kind of what this is. Well, this is metal oxide as opposed to a polymer, but that's right. Okay. Our next caller is Jeff from Greece, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Hi, good morning, all. Merry Christmas.
And the same to you.
Same Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to convert a PowerPoint presentation to a AVI file. And using that AVI file going into my Nero 6 software and burning it to DVD. I'm trying to do this without having to spend the $100 for a software program, you know, going out and online, downloading all the free trials.
PowerPoint has an export as something already, doesn't it? Nick,
No, that's convert. You can export as a PDF.
Will OpenOffice take a PPT?
I have not. There's nothing in XP Home that allows me to burn.
No, I'm saying.
No, it's not in the OS. It's in PowerPoint itself.
Yeah, there is a program called My Screen Recorder that will do that.
Really?
But I don't know what it. Well, it appears to be downloadable. Hold on. There's a couple PC. These people have a whole bunch.
Yeah, I found
of stuff.
A couple of them for PowerPoint making Windows Media videos. See, the Mac version of PowerPoint can make a QuickTime movie natively because the QuickTime is built into the Mac OS.
Check out DeskShare.com.
Okay.
And that's that'll lead you to it. There's a whole bunch of things there, but if you hit the downloads button, that'll take you to their download page, and the one you're looking for is My Screen Recorder. My Screen Recorder. There should have been
It's right on the front page.
End. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I have not tried it. I have not used it. So I'm not promising anything, but it's certainly, considering it's free, it wouldn't hurt to give it a try.
Absolutely.
There seems to be a pro version, so I suppose you can pay for that one, but there seems to be on the download page, it just says download. Maybe it's a try before you buy, but at least that'll get you going.
Yeah, I've actually done a whole bunch of these. PPT2DVD.com. I did their trial version, and they're not syncing up. You know, I have music in the presentation too, and the slides are all miscalculated.
There's also a way to use the PowerPoint reader.
Yeah, you can just
and set that as the auto run program.
Yeah, you can distribute the PowerPoint file itself in PowerPoint. You can save as a PowerPoint show, which is PPS rather than PPT, and then the person at the other end doesn't need to own PowerPoint, but they have to do it on a computer.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to get away from.
Oh, you want them to be able to play the DVD on their television?
Correct.
Ah, then this is something like give this a try. Is all I can tell you.
For the My Screen Recorder?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll capture anything on your screen to a AVI or WMV or Flash. So you just run the presentation, it captures it as a movie, and then you can burn that movie to the disc.
Right. Give it a shot. Let us know.
It's surprising the Windows version of PowerPoint doesn't have that built in like the Mac version does.
I don't know. I guess not.
I would have thought it did.
You would have thought it
PowerPoint's
would.
On that PC there. Yeah. Neither Nick or I are running Windows.
Right. I'm running Linux. He's running a Mac, so we could do it, but you apparently cannot. Our next caller is going to have to wait because Glenn Lamberts. Look, the great Glenn Lamberts just walked into the studio, and that means pretty soon we're going to get the best, most accurate, and freshest news and weather and sports and everything else. Or we'll just listen to Glenn. Those are your two choices, really, right there. Okay, all right. It is Christmas, and we're saying rude things to each other under the pretense that it's okay because, you know, it's Christmas and stuff like that. But it's interesting that there would be a version, you know, under, for example, under the Mac, where you can do something that you can't do.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense.
They're few and far between, and we relish every one of them.
Well, I don't doubt it. Of course, AVI is a native Mac format, so
Windows. AVI is Windows.
Well, AVI is Windows.
MLB is Mac, yeah. But they both play on the other side.
Well, right.
Yeah,
that's just weird. We'll have to take a look at
this
machine.
I'm searching Microsoft's website now.
see what we can find. It's not something I've ever done, so it's not something I've ever paid attention to doing. I don't know what to say about that. We are going to take a quick break. Glenn Lamberts truly is in here to give you all the latest news, weather, and sports.
We got Rumball.
We're here with Rumball, so we don't really care if you come back or not. It is 28 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Mr. Rob Linton, and with me, Nick Francesco. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. And that, say it with me, it's Sound Bites here at Reverberating Across the Universe on 1180 WHAM.
This is Wayne.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
Those are the Gold Diggers. Thank you very much. I'm Nick Francesco.
One of the best singers.
Steve Ray.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Rob Linton. Sorry, I didn't mean
but
to step on
you. But he hasn't even touched the Rumballs yet.
I know.
He's talking about Dean.
Wait a minute. You brought more Rumballs in?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And we haven't even started on them yet.
I got some of my wife's homemade fudge.
Hey, Glenn, you had a Rumball.
Very nice.
Glenn had a rum ball before that last newscast.
Yeah, sushi.
Sushi.
Right. The Shenko you got, but sushi you couldn't handle.
Susie.
Nice.
Sushi instead of a long German name.
Russian. What you missed was, see, this is why it's this is the one of those few moments where it's too bad we're not television, because he did this in and out of the door.
Yeah, he was like,
I got something. No, I better not say it. I'll leave now.
Oh, man. Well, you guys got all the cookies and stuff like that, and I need to go in there and get some.
You need to stop in and get some. Yeah. That's it. Well, you can do it now while I'm talking about...
There's some outside the door, too.
About the new website. We have a new website to talk about. The open source group is razzing Microsoft with a new website called badvista.org. The open source group is claiming that Windows operating system is a power grab to steal control over users' computers. The Free Software Foundation's campaign will both promote free software alternatives to Vista and publicize what it sees as the danger of Microsoft's new operating system. Vista is an upsell masquerading as an upgrade. It is a ruse to compel the further transfer of control over people's computers to an external and mysterious certification authority with peculiar standards of genuine. It's a ploy to artificially motivate the purchase of expensive, unnecessary hardware. Now, they've labeled Microsoft's trusted computing initiative as treacherous computing and called the company's marketing campaign a power grab. Some Vista criticisms have been voiced before. Users have been up in arms for weeks over new anti-piracy technologies in Vista. Microsoft did not immediately respond to a request for comment. That's badvista.org. And some of it is way over the top, but some of it's pretty funny.
All right, question for you. You've played with Vista, right?
Yes, I have.
All right. Steve, have you played with it at all?
Not really.
Okay.
Because I've been using a Mac for years.
You're right. Right, I've been using Windows forever.
Tell me, since you've played with it, mm-hmm. what do you feel is really the big difference and benefit from going from Windows XP to Vista?
It runs slower. Oh, benefit.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I was very confused there for a moment.
Dave, he's the wrong person to ask. He doesn't sell computers. We love Vista because it makes you buy a new computer.
No. Boy, ain't that the truth. The reality is that under the hood, there are some built-in security features that you would have to buy externally or get free externally. If you've ever run the Security Tango, you've got them all anyway. Yeah. But the point is, the real difference is the eye candy. They took out most of the good stuff and put in some eye candy. Unless you've got a hella fast machine with a giant video card, your system is going to simply run slower.
But
if you're
a
gamer, then Vista will run fine on your machine.
But games won't. Your games won't run under Vista.
But my main question to you was what big benefit?
Oh, Microsoft gets more money. That's their benefit.
To users.
Oh, to me? Yeah. Support. Microsoft will immediately stop supporting everything but Vista once it's available to the public.
All right. Hear me now. Remember me later.
Yeah.
I predict, and it's not even the New Year's yet, I've got a feeling that, one, Microsoft is going to be forced into keeping Vista around, XP around as long as they did Windows 98.
I would love that to be true.
Like I said, only from the standpoint, one, folks in today's economy can't afford to go out and just, you know, carte blanche, buy all new computers, which are going to require more memory, more hard disk space, more processor speed, bigger videos to do eye candy. There is no justification. When it comes down to the actual business application, the average business people, what XP will do and what Vista is going to gain them is going to be just more money out of their pocket.
Well, now I'm running Vista on a laptop. A friend of mine is running it on his desktop. Neither one of us has video. We've both been told by our motherboard manufacturers, two separate companies, that there will never, or not video, audio, there's no sound. They were told that there will never be sound because they're simply not going to bother to write drivers for older boards. On my laptop, I can't do some of the eye candy because my video card is not good enough. The camera, the built-in camera doesn't work. Half the software I have to run at work doesn't work.
That's the other thing that they're not telling folks. You're going to get this operating system, and oh, by the way, you better double check because a lot of your software isn't going to work. You're going to have to get upgrades because it takes more power, and that's going to cost you more money on top of buying this high, overpriced operating system.
Right. Right.
I hate to say it, but it's getting to be almost like a Windows.
But if you're the kind of person that likes newer, bigger, better.
Yeah, right.
And has
if
the
disposable
income.
If you're willing to totally replace everything you've ever had.
Yeah. This one smells like ME.
And I gotta tell you guys,
I'm warning you guys ahead of time.
What's that odor in the air? Why? It's the smell of ME.
No, somebody said, actually, a couple of people have said to me over the past couple of weeks, why is it that the Soundbites guys always bash Windows?
We don't always bash Windows.
I said, and I quote, because Windows stinks.
Yeah.
It was pretty much what I said. But, you know, it's so funny people think that you guys are Windows bashers.
One of the first people to stand up and say, I love XP.
Right.
I loved XP. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an exceptional product, well-written, well-designed. It hit almost every milestone they left in when they finally released it. It did a good job. It was fine.
4 years ago.
It's 2001.
Yeah.
Windows 98 SE was an excellent product once they got the SE, the second edition out.
When they get it right, I always say they got it right.
I've got clients that are still using it, and I love it.
Yep.
It's a good product. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. We've got Bill from Honey I Falls. Patiently waiting on the phone. And this is Soundbites at 40 minutes after the hour. You're listening to us on 1180 WHAM.
Let your heart be light.
Oh, now that's a nice song.
From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
I like this. Welcome back. This is Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you've hit two of my favorite singers.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yes, you have. They're effortless singers.
That is my gift to you.
Thank you, and I appreciate that.
You got any James Darren in there?
ZZ Top?
No, that was great.
ZZ Top.
I like ZZ Top.
Oh, Lord.
We were just talking Star Trek, and James Darren was a singer. Who,
Journey?
Who was the name of it again?
James Darren. He was a singer in the 60s or something like that, and then became well-known on TV as the T.J. Hooker's sidekick.
Yep.
And then he got a job on Deep Space Nine playing a lounge singer named Vic Fontaine, who was basically Frank Sinatra.
Yep.
So James Darren put out an album of Frank Sinatra songs as Vic Fontaine.
That's funny.
it's like Brent Spiner put out an album of Frank Sinatra songs called Old Yellow Eyes.
Old Yellow Eyes is back, yeah. All right, before we get to Bill, who's still patiently waiting, we should mention that Sun's Looking Glass 3D desktop has finally been released. It's a three-dimensional desktop interface that provides an operating system neutral version of a bunch of the elements that are found in OS X and Microsoft's about to be newly released Vista operating system. Looking Glass, which was first shown off in 2003 and released as open source project in 2004, allows certain applications to be run in a 3D-ish environment, allowing them to be rotated in 3D space so you can maximize the available disk space. It also had a launch bar across the bottom that is similar to what you now see in OS X's dock. Looking Glass includes several features not found anywhere else. You can fly left to right to a new virtual desktop. You can use the back of a virtual window. This is something that I absolutely love. You know how you can turn things around and see the back of them? You can write on the back, so you can take notes to yourself, for example, on a website.
Cool.
You turn it over, you take notes. Yeah. The notes are saved along with the website, and they're on the back of the window. You can also stack them up sideways, so there's kind of a bookshelf look of all of your available windows, and you click on one, and it brings it to the front. It is so cool. If you want to see it, it's easy enough to see. It's Project Looking Glass. As it's at www.sun.com/software/looking_glass. It is so cool. It is truly the future of what you'll find in desktops. And I'm glad that that we're doing that. Our next caller is what?
So I was also just reading about there was an emerging technology conference in San Francisco or in San Diego a few months ago, and a company was showing off a multi-point interface. You know, every computer for the last 30 years has had a single point interface. Yeah, you know,
right.
One point of action. Even the GUI interfaces with a mouse, there's one point of action, the
right.
mouse cursor. And they're developing these objects that can work with multi-point interfaces, but they're not sure how well they're going to be implemented because everyone is so used to a single point.
Well, and most people are not ambidextrous. Our next caller is Bill from Honeyoy. Welcome, Bill, and thank you for your patience. What's your question?
Merry Christmas, guys.
And
Merry
the same
Christmas
to you.
To you.
Hey, look, I've got a XP Home Edition on a Dell that
yep.
we got a couple years ago.
Okay.
And recently I've been getting, by the way, I'm running Roadrunner.
Okay.
And Firefox and Thunderbird. recently I've been getting a couple of pop-ups when I start the computer saying, your computer may be at risk. Antivirus might not be installed. And firewall might not be installed, even though I've got Roadrunner, which has its own firewall and AV system.
But you have to install that software from Roadrunner yourself.
It's been on there for...
Okay.
Well, but what you've got is one of those little pop-up programs that occurs that tries, and Dave alluded to this earlier,
right.
tries to get you to buy their stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now,
how do I kill that pop-up?
Have you danced the security tango?
Yes, I have.
It may not be that. It might be Windows Security, which will say the same thing because it doesn't know. If you don't use Windows
right.
Firewall or Windows Virus, the
I've
Windows Security
that.
Tab.
Bill,
so you
that's
go
what's
into the,
happening.
You have to go into the Windows Security tab and turn off that notification to stop notifying me.
Right.
If I'm, I'm using some other product. Don't notify me again.
Yeah. Right.
The other thing is if you go to Grisoft, and there's a new product that they have there. It's called AVG Spamware. Try downloading and installing and running that.
Yeah.
That's a good one for getting rid of a lot of this spyware lately that pops up and says, oh, we want your machine's infected. You got to buy this product for $29.95.
If it is indeed saying it's coming from Microsoft, then just turn off that notification and you should be fine.
All right. Mm-hmm. Real quick one for you.
Yeah.
Why are we using this drive record players instead of flash memory?
Because flash memory is too expensive.
But we get a lot of questions about that at MacAv by Jessica. No, the 8 gigabyte flash drive iPod is $250 for 8 gigabytes of flash memory. The 30 gigabyte video iPod is $250 for a 30 gigabyte hard drive memory.
Right.
So it's 4 times more expensive for flash drives.
Now, you're right, Bill. Flash is way better for 100,000 reasons. And as time goes on, it will become a lot less expensive.
There are a couple.
We used to pay $1,000 for a 5 gig hard drive. So
there's
5 meg hard drive.
There's a couple of companies that are working on laptops with like a 30 meg flash drive or 40 meg flash drive instead of a mechanical hard drive because then it's less battery consumption.
Right.
But it's going to be a little more expensive.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, settle down, get your pajamas out, and relax because it will be time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. At 50 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 55 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Okay, you happy now? This is your music. It doesn't really go along well with...
I don't care.
Okay,
that's
kitties.
What I like. I'm not after the kiddies. Most
all
of the
right,
folks
kiddies,
out there
sit
are
back,
the adults.
Relax. Put on your little footy jammies. Grab your teddy bear and your blanket. Get your cup of hot cocoa and gather around the rocking chair. Uncle Dave's had his meds adjusted, and it's time for another edition of Uncle Dave's Story Hour.
Well,
Uncle Dave?
Well, this week, you know, it's become more or less a tradition the past couple of years. I've always told stories about, you know, my family around the holidays, like my brother there.
And with 718 brothers and sisters, you've got stories.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my dad was one of 19, I'm one of six, so, you know, there was always something going around. But I, which brings me to one year I remember, we happened to be over on Jones Avenue, and it was a Christmas Eve, and we had just gotten the tree all decorated, and it was set up in this one corner. And I mean, we never, you know, as a big family, we usually do things, oh, big, just like I do my cooking here.
Sure.
You know, I never do small. So we had a huge tree. It went right up to the ceiling. And we had a lot of, back in this day, our day, kids, for you kiddies, a lot of our ornaments were hand-blown.
Yeah.
In other words, they weren't produced
real
by,
glass.
Yeah, they were real glass. And my mother, God love her soul, you know, always took care. She always put these special ornaments on the tree. So we got the whole tree decorated.
And how many of the cats would break every year?
We got to sit down for dinner, and we're sitting there, and we're all kind of, all six of us are kind of looking over the shoulder, looking over the tree. And all of a sudden, we start to see the tree moving. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say one thing. Just before Christmas, my two sisters had acquired two little baby cats.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're watching this tree go. And again, God love my mother. She always told my dad, shouldn't we anchor it up in the corner?
Yeah.
No, 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 no.
Nah.
No. Nah. You know, my dad, Tim the Toolman. No. It's fine.
Well, so, Tim the Toolman would have buried it in cement.
Yeah, right.
So, we're sitting there enjoying dinner, and I'm kind of watching the tree go, a little left, a little right, a little left, a little right. And then 2 seconds later, the tree starts to come straight towards my dad.
Yep.
Comes crashing down. Just midair as the tree is coming down, you see two pluffs of fur jump out on either side.
Mm-hmm.
Whee! And the tree came crashing down. My dad just sits there, and my mother just sort of looked up and said, uh-huh, about tying it up?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and it'll be, for us, it'll be quick, because we're going to eat rum balls.
Oh, that's, he asked for ZZ Top
yes.
to come out of his story time.
Thank
that's
you.
What I'm playing.
Oh, then, all right, oh, so this is an end
go.
Of
so
spot
I,
music.
No,
this is...
so I've got time for Gary from Lockport, is that what
no,
you're telling
No, you don't.
I don't have time.
No.
I don't know what I have time
that's
for.
That's right.
I will, however, tell you about... my first Christmas, we got the whole thing. We moved into, we bought our house, closed on our house December 10th. We had Christmas in our house because we're idiots. We're sitting there, the whole family sitting around the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree, right in the middle of sitting there looking at it, leans quietly over and just kind of puts its head on my mother-in-law's shoulder. Very gently, just the whole thing. And then, yeah, we tied ours up, too,
yeah.
at the same time. Listen, we're done.
We always used to tie ours up because we had cats that liked to pull it down.
Well,
yeah,
this
exactly.
is the first year we had ever had cats in the house, so it was new to us.
Yeah.
And my poor mother, though, all those bulbs in it were broken.
Yeah, no kidding. Mm. We're going to take a quick break. Glenn Lamberts is back. He will be giving you news, information, all that other good stuff. I don't think he's had too many rum balls, so he should be all right. We will be back on the other side of the news with our poll of the week and everything else with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco, and you are listening at 59 minutes after the hour to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites. Only. Oh, and Dan Cole is in as well. That's very exciting. Look, it's full in there. Only on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Thousand-watt News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000 Watt 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton. Actually, you know, Nick, that recording that Glenn played actually sounds better than the show does typically. You know what I'm saying?
We got to talk to our producer about that.
Oh.
Right. Right. Thank you very much.
At Glenn's age, almost everything sounds like that. It's 8 minutes after the hour.
Let me turn his mic back on so he can defend himself. Go ahead, Glenn.
Oh, man alive. Zing, wow.
And it's Christmas. We're supposed to be nice to each other.
You opened Pandora's box, buddy boy.
Yeah. That's fascinating stuff, though, isn't it?
It really
is. I had never heard that
before. No, I want to know, Glenn, how did that sound when you first heard that?
Live the way
when I was operating on board the ship. Yeah, that's very.
I want to know who recorded it. And
well, I got
Glenn
it.
Glenn did.
Well, see, no, I actually had checked on to an amateur radio website this morning, QRZ.com, and every ham knows what that's about. And they had a story on there about this first thing with a link to the BBC. And they had a story, and we got permission to lift it off. We really didn't need it anyway. They said, you don't need permission for that slice because it's open at this
point. It's 100 years old.
Yeah, exactly. But they have a complete story. The guy built a phased tower array, many hundreds of feet tall, each tower, in Massachusetts. And he was going to broadcast to his friends in Scotland.
Wow.
Cool.
But a storm blew in Scotland and tore down the facility at the other end. So he said, what the heck, I'll do it to the ships. And so radio operators at sea were the first people ever to hear a radio broadcast.
Yeah. So. How neat is that?
Oh, it just sends chills up and down my spine. Well, it's not that neat, but pretty neat.
All righty then.
And look where it's got us now.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Testing 1, 2, blah, blah, blah.
One other thing, though, Glenn mentioned, though, and I got to chime in on also is our service folks overseas. I mean, I've got a nephew right now and his wife who are stationed over there, and you know, I wish they were home for Christmas, but you know, they're doing a very important job, and I can't say enough that, you know, every individual right now overseas, you know, our thoughts go with you because you're not home with your loved ones, but you're putting your life out on the line for us so we can enjoy our holidays.
Yep.
So I can't say thank you enough.
Well,
yep.
I say thank you, and I say God bless you, and we pray
and
that you are protected along the way. So there you go.
Each and every one of them. We get a lot of folks overseas who are downloading our podcast, as a matter of fact.
Well, my nephew and his wife do, to keep up with it and that, because I, you know, constantly get emails and that from the various folks in the squirrel mail.
Sure.
They're the ones that, quite lately, when we were talking about the podcast not being there, a number of them were from the overseas, because when you were sitting there giving the statistics, what was it, a couple weeks ago on our podcast, a number of them were from the over there in Iraq, because they enjoy it, because it's part of home, and you know, they've grown up with us. We've been doing it 18 years now, folks.
Yeah, I can do the statistics of who's downloaded from our server, but are the statistics of who downloaded what from where on iTunes, Steve?
Probably. Apple doesn't.
That's good to know.
Apple doesn't generally announce specifics, but at the usual keynotes when they talk about new
products.
No,
I meant for us. Can we tell who's downloaded our show?
No, because they don't download it from iTunes. It's listed at iTunes, and the list points to our server.
Oh, so that
they're just redirecting.
Yeah, but we'd only. All right, maybe. Well, anyway, the point here is this. We do podcast, and you can get that off of our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, every week we do a poll, and that poll is answered by hundreds of people. Last week's poll, 285 of you voted, making it number 181 on our all-time hit list. And the question was about the Wii, the new Wii from
Nintendo.
And
we actually got five of them in for our list of about 30 people waiting.
Yeah right. The controller, of course, is this new thing where you actually move it while you do things. The straps are breaking, sending the thing slamming through televisions and people's faces and everything. Apparently, I'm allergic to people's faces. So the question was, I will be replacing my Wii's controller straps. 93% of you don't even own a Wii. 14 of you decided you're going commando. 3 of you said yes, even though I haven't had a problem. And 2 of you said yes, I've had a problem. This week's poll is about a new bug hunt that's starting up. We've seen the month of browser bugs and the month of kernel bugs. Now it's Apple's turn. It's the month of Apple bugs. On January 1st, 2 security researchers will begin publishing details of a flood of security vulnerabilities in Apple's products. Their plan is to disclose one bug per day for the entire month. The project is being launched by an independent security researcher, Kevin Finisterre, and a hacker known as LMH, who declined to reveal his identity. Some of the bugs might represent a significant risk. Others have a lower impact on security. We're trying to develop working exploits for every issue we find. The two hackers plan to disclose bugs in the Mac OS X kernel, as well as in the software such as Safari, iTunes, iPhoto, and QuickTime. Some of the bugs will also affect versions of Apple software designed to run on Microsoft Windows. LMH was one of the brains behind the recent month of kernel bugs, which exposed flaws in several different operating systems. It was inspired by the earlier effort called the Month of Browser Bugs, which was kicked off in July. This latest Apple product is being launched to raise awareness of security vulnerabilities in Apple's products and to stomp smugness, Finisterre said. While the Mac is generally considered to be more secure than a Windows PC, many security researchers believe that this reputation is not attributable to any superior security practices on the part of Apple. They say attackers have been deterred by the Mac OS X's more secure Unix kernel and the product's less widespread adoption. Apple's for his part doesn't seem to be upset with the project. We always welcome feedback on how to improve security on the Mac. So the question is, on this month of Apple bugs, your choices are they won't find any. They won't find any in Apple's own software. They'll find as many as they find in Windows, and Linux users laugh softly at the children's antics. So far, we have 66 people who voted. The Linux users are ahead at 44%, followed by they'll find as many as they find in Windows. They won't find any in Apple's own software, and they won't find any. 5 people firmly and staunchly believe they won't find any. Once you have voted in the poll, you'll see a little yellow box underneath it. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. That takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you'll be able to put in an entire opinion up to 255 characters. And you can post that there. While you're there, take a look around. I do a newsletter and with tips and tricks and news and views and questions and answers and new websites and everything else. It's a pretty cool thing. And then come back and join us at Soundbites, where you'll meet some of the niftiest people on earth in our forums. But please vote in the poll and let us know what you think of this whole idea of a month of Apple bugs. And now back to the phones. Our next caller is Gary from Lockport, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Yes, Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas to you.
I have a Mac running OS 10.4, and I was looking at getting OpenOffice until I came across something called NeoOffice, and I was wondering what the difference was.
NeoOffice is a more Mac-friendly version of OpenOffice. They've done more to make it look like a Mac program.
Okay. But it's the same code. It's the same program, rejiggered a bit to make it look nicer on a Mac.
Would it make a big difference at all, or
it would be more familiar to you because it looks more like a Mac program?
So, but that's the only thing, it's just familiarity then.
Right.
Yeah, I run OpenOffice on both my Linux and Windows boxes, and I run NeoOffice on my Mac, and it runs just perfectly well.
There's StarOffice, which runs under Solaris.
Right. Which was great. The granddaddy of them all. But yeah, you can run that with no problems.
Sounds great. Have a great day.
There you too. Have a terrific Christmas and New Year's, and in fact, the whole holiday season.
The Microsoft alternatives. You can interact with Windows users with the Microsoft Office suite, and they don't know any different.
I transfer documents back and forth to my faculty and staff all day long. They have no idea I'm not on Microsoft Office. They don't even have any idea that I'm not on Windows, because I can read and write all of their formats.
And most of them don't know there's anything besides Windows.
Right.
Which is a pity. Actually, well, that brings up an interesting point. There's a huge change going on in Microsoft Office that everyone's beginning to worry about. The latest, newest versions of Office, the 2007 version, uses a new document format, which is OpenXML. which is supposed to be more open for future versions and other other programs. Yeah, supposed to be.
Yeah,
but it's it's a problem with backward compatibility.
Yes, it is.
And cross compatibility with other platforms.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's another thing Microsoft tried to do right and got horribly wrong.
Right. If you keep the default new format for Office, you won't be able to share documents with anybody who isn't on the new version of Office. So you have to.
You
be
guys
careful.
Bash Microsoft way too much.
I'm just
it's so easy
pointing
well, yeah, that's
the that out. I'm so, just yeah. pointing out you have to. This is a public service announcement. Yes. If you buy the new version of Office, you have to set it up to save in the old format. Otherwise, nothing you save will be compatible with anybody else you deal with.
So you can't give a file to someone.
So we're not
anymore.
Bashing. We're just give making folks aware of. And right. oh, by the way, when you shell out $300 to $500,
$700, Dave. Dave, here's the deal. You should enjoy the fact that Microsoft sinks. It keeps you in business.
See, this is one of those times where I almost wish I was still selling.
Yeah, right.
Because Dave and Steve get to, you know, they're going to make a fortune off of this. Right.
Well, see, that's the problem is software issues.
Right, right.
Are different, and everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people think software should be covered under hardware warranty. Was a problem with a problem with my computer. No, it's with the software that
but
you
see,
bought.
But see, the problem I hear, Rob, right. yeah. is one, just like you and everybody else out there, you know, you're buying this particular product and being taken advantage of.
Oh, absolutely. They're hanging everybody out to dry.
And, you know, I don't,
stop bashing them.
One, I want to make a living, you know, and that's with legitimate things, you know, if they break or that. But when software causes other issues... And as a matter of fact, in just the past couple of weeks, I have been able to solve, I'll bet you easily, 50 different phone calls. 50 different phone calls. And the phone call was?
Uninstall IE7.
Uninstall IE7.
Well, you know what's funny about some of the machines? A lot of people who will remain nameless actually got rid of Firefox and put IE7 on the machines. You're just like, are you kidding me right now? Why would you do that?
Well, see, it's our job to inform and educate them.
Right.
The software comes down from Microsoft. They don't know any better. They click OK, and it screws up their computer.
Yep. All right, we are going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Call Wham now.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer, walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Love this song.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa.
There's actually a controversy about this song now. Grandmothers don't like it. That's not a joke.
It's offensive to grandmothers.
You know, listen, to grandmothers.
I got to tell you something. I was just talking with a buddy of mine online here, and we were just talking about Internet Explorer 7.
Yeah.
And he goes, I hated IE7. So he said, I deleted it and got IE6, he said.
Yeah, there you go. Downgrade, backgrade, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if grandmas are upset about getting run over by a reindeer, what about the other song about grandmas and reindeers?
I don't want to hear about that.
This is a family show,
right.
Steve.
Here's some good news for Microsoft. Congratulations to Microsoft. They forecast on Wednesday that sales of their Zune music player will exceed 1 million units by the end of June 2007, despite a tepid start of the device. A report from market research firm NPD Group showed that Zune's share of the U.S. digital music player market fell to 2% in fifth place in the week ending November 25th, the second week of sales since its release, whereas it was the first week of its release. It was second with a 9% market share. While this is, of course, expected that, you know, it goes down after the first week, their focus is less on week-by-week numbers and more on the incremental sales that are leading to overall growth of the category. So they're on path to sell more than 1 million units by June 30th, at the end of their current fiscal year.
In the meantime, Apple will probably sell, 20 million in the same time period?
Apple, yeah. 10 million at least. But what I'm saying is, you know, this is good news for Microsoft. They're going to spend 1 million. The slow start that they faced underscores the huge challenge they have in trying to crack the digital music player market, which is completely dominated by the iPod. Microsoft, of course, now this is Microsoft. They don't have to get the first version or indeed the second or third versions right. They just have to keep throwing money at it till it owns the market.
And
so,
that's the whole irony of the Zune anyway. This is a Toshiba player that failed 3 years ago, and Toshiba withdrew it from the market. So Microsoft is already on their third or fourth shot at it.
Just proving that they can do it where the others couldn't. Our next caller is Leo from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Leo. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good, yourself?
Merry Christmas. What can we do for you?
Yes, I was wondering if you can help me. I'm talking about my son's computer. Can I say the brand of the computer or not?
Sure.
He has a laptop, HP Pavilion ZE2000.
Okay.
Yesterday, when he tried to start the computer, and I still tried to do it, the light comes off for a couple of seconds, and it just shuts itself off.
That's likely something in the power supply, because or otherwise the battery would have worked too.
Yeah.
So it could be the power cord itself, or the tip broken off inside the computer,
or the actual power pack. I had one client bring their laptop in, and all it turned out to be was a dead power supply, and they just had to go over to like a Circuit City or a Best Buy and buy a universal one.
Yeah, we sell a universal adapter called the iGo that comes with a wall charger, a car charger, and an airplane charger. And yeah, it's got like 20 tips in it for all sites.
You
got to
just have it checked out, because you know they're not inexpensive. They're like $80, so you might want to have it checked out at a repair shop to make sure it's that versus say the power charging unit on the motherboard.
On the motherboard. Okay.
Yeah, so you got to have it checked out.
Okay, I'll try to do that. Thank you guys for your help anyway.
And thank you.
You have a Merry Christmas.
You too, sir.
My friend. Keep smiling.
Yeah, because that's one thing that's tricky with laptops. I mean, you got two culprits there.
Yep.
Versus.
Well, sometimes it's three. We've had one because there's the cord that goes from the wall to the brick, and then the brick to the computer.
The wall.
And then
the wall to the brick usually is.
Usually, but we've seen them fail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's no obvious break in the plastic.
We've also seen some where when the battery was out, it worked fine.
Yep.
When the battery was in, didn't work at all. So it was really 4 points of failure.
Didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition.
Exactly. All right, our next caller is Bob from Hilton, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
I just got a problem with my Windows media player.
Sure.
I'm running XP, and it's an old Dell Pentium 4, but it runs, if I'm running a movie, you know, any kind of video clip, it only runs about halfway through, two-thirds of the way through, then I lose the picture. The sound stays on the whole time, and I can run CDs and MP3s without a problem. It's just the video that cuts out after halfway through.
How much memory you got in that machine?
40 gigs.
No, that's the hard drive.
Oh, you mean a RAM?
Yeah, RAM.
356.
That's the problem.
Yeah, you need more memory.
512 minimum, 1 gig better.
Okay. Yep. But this is something that's only been going on. It used to work fine before.
Movies are getting bigger and bigger. They're
compression
using
rates
using different compression rates to make them look better.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Cramming more in smaller file size, but you know it's also demanding more.
Oh, okay. Because if I download it and save it and then run it using like Real Player, it plays fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's you're using the Windows Media Player versus another product.
How do you get online?
Roadrunner.
Yeah, see, that's not the problem. The problem has got to be Windows Media Player, which requires a lot more RAM.
Okay.
And you may have gotten an auto update lately to a newer version of Windows Media Player.
Which requires even more RAM.
Yeah. Oh,
yep. Okay.
But that's one beautiful thing about Windows XP. You know, again, we were being criticized for bashing them so much. This is one nice thing about the operating system is, one, you can plug in a lot of stuff, and it automatically sees it. Like our flash drives right now, you hook up a printer and everything else on the fly. It'll find it, put in usually the driver for it, and away you go. I mean, I have really liked XP right up there with Windows 98 SE.
Yep.
I mean, it's been a rock-solid system and pretty easy to, you know, find out, you know, if something's wrong with it to solve it.
Yep. All right, our next caller is, thank you very much. Our next caller is John on a cell phone. John?
Good morning, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I have a problem with an icon that I cannot remove from my desktop.
Mm-hmm.
It originally came as a movie file from a friend of mine, emailed, and I saved it to the desktop as an attachment, and I guess it has 0 bytes, but I can't throw it in the trash. It won't allow me to.
What happens when you try?
I get an error message that it doesn't recognize it, doesn't have any extensions, and I can't change the name. I tried to get rid of it in failsafe, and that did not work.
In safe mode, you mean?
Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm at my wit's end.
How about the desktop icon cache? Like, the icon isn't really there, but the cache still displays it?
Well, I've got a couple of questions. When you ran this file, did it run okay?
Originally? No, I never ran it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What it sounds like is you've gotten caught by one of the several viruses that do this sort of thing, and they pretend to be one type of file and really another.
A Trojan, yeah.
You can't run them because you can't delete it because it's running and it's capturing an attempt to delete itself and preventing you from doing that. Same with renaming it.
A Trojan will do that too. And yep. It could be like a keylogger.
Right. So what?
And
you
it
need...
may have come from your friend. Your friend might be infected, not know it, and his computer is passing them
or
out.
Or it could be from a third person with both of you in their email address book, and it picked two random names. What you need to do is make sure you dance the security tango.
I did.
And did that find anything?
Nothing. Hmm.
Sometimes you can boot another disk. Well, boot instead of booting in the safe mode, boot into command line only and try deleting it from there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it could. You're right. It could. If it's not that, then it can be the cache.
I can change the, when I select to open it with, I can change the icon to Nero or Media Player.
Right.
But nothing else.
If it's a zero-byte file, it could be a legitimate file that just didn't download completely and the OS is confused. There's a file there, but it's zero-byte, so it isn't there.
And you danced the whole tango, including Stinger, going into security mode, everything else.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Wow.
The only the other way is to, which we do at our shop, is pull the hard drive out, put it on a test bench.
On another computer that you know is clean. Yeah.
And manually remove it.
Yeah, if you can boot into command line, or if you have a boot floppy lying around, you can boot to a command line. Do a cold boot, shut the computer down completely so a memory resident virus doesn't stay there.
Uh-huh.
And then once you get down to a command line, you can navigate to the desktop folder and try deleting it.
Okay, we'll give it a try.
Give it a shot.
Good luck. That's an interesting one. Call us back, John. Let us know what happened and what you did.
We see that on the Mac now and then, but it's usually a permission problem. The permissions get screwed up, so you don't have permission to remove it.
But and it will tell you that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it would something help in to the, know what the exact error message was.
Right. Our next caller is Dan from Brighton, New York. Happy holidays, Dan. What's your question?
Hey, happy holidays. A couple things. I just heard you about Internet Explorer 7.
Yeah.
What is it bad? Because I just downloaded it.
Well, it's
slightly better than IE6, which was horrible.
Which was damning with faint praise. But
My problem is I downloaded that, and then AOL, because I'm on Roadrunner and I have AOL, said to download this new version of their security or whatever it is.
Right.
Right.
Ever since I've been doing that, these debug things have been popping up.
That's one of the big problems with IE is it breaks a lot of other software.
Yep. It crosses... So if you go into the add remove programs, uninstall IE7, it'll revert back to IE6.
And then switch to Firefox.
Yep.
Because the biggest issue with Internet Explorer are the security holes in it that allow viruses and spyware.
And the pop-ups.
And the pop-ups to get into your system without you ever knowing it.
I have Firefox. Well...
Right, you can still be using Firefox. There's no way to completely delete Internet Explorer from your computer. Microsoft won't let you. But you can remove IE7, which will bring back IE6, and then just ignore it and use Firefox.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Dan. This is one of the problems that we've been seeing. And
auto update
I think
says
it's just
download
get work.
This, and they do.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to get worse. Our next caller is Gene from Greece, New York. Welcome, Gene. What's your question?
Merry Christmas, gentlemen.
Merry Christmas to you.
I have Roadrunner, and when I open up my email, I get this box that says Q. Update executives trying to access your internet. And when I go for more information, I don't understand what it's all about.
Spell that again.
Q.
Q-U-E-U-E?
No, just plain Q. Letter. Update EXE.
That's a spy program.
Yeah.
You've been infected.
Dance the tango.
You mean somebody put that on my computer?
Yep.
Well, yes, but not somebody physically in your house. You went to a website or got an email that downloaded that file and installed it into your computer without you knowing it. That's why we don't recommend. In fact, we recommend against using Internet Explorer and Outlook Express because they let these things happen.
Yeah, so what you need to do is dance the security tango.
Mm-hmm.
Go to securitytango.com, click the Let's Dance button, print that page out, and follow step by step. Do not skip any steps. If you do, you're no longer dancing a tango. You're just stumbling around.
Okay.
And that will help clean the computer off of this specific spyware, plus anything else it may have loaded for you.
Oh, one thing I've got, talking about updates and all that, I've got to get you the link, Steve. Microsoft, and I've just put it on the new Soundbite CD, is there is now a patch. I mean, granted, we're coming up to the first of the year, and in March now, I believe it is, we're going to be jumping ahead for daylight savings time. And Windows XP, there is a patch out there right now that will correct the timing on when daylight savings time
on
your machine.
It's starting earlier and ending later.
Yeah, it's 3 weeks earlier and 1 week later.
So all the computers and VCRs and microwave ovens, anything with a clock in it, you're going to have to manually change now.
Yeah, there is a patch for XP, and I will get you that link, Steve. But I've already added it to the Soundbite CD that's going out. Just another utility that we try to keep up and out there for folks, because with the different changes, I still don't know how I'm going to work my VCR. I don't think they're going
to
come up.
You can
with
walk
flash
up to the machine and push the
little buttons.
Push the
that'll
little
do
buttons
it.
On it. Yeah.
Well, my cable box will get its update from Time Warner
and
directly.
Your cell phone will too.
My cell phone will too. But you're right. The VCR.
Some
DVD
of the VCRs
player.
Look on the signal because some TV stations broadcast a time code.
Well, I'm wondering if my DVR will. That's
the newer ones might,
If it's from your television provider, then it will automatically.
No, this one I bought independently. And
well, then good luck.
Yeah. I guess I go to, you have to, RTFM.
Yep, that's our loving and caring way we deal with these things. Yeah, good luck. I should tell you, we were talking earlier about the podcast domains. We're still big in Germany. 28 folks in Germany download us. Please email us. Let us know who you are. We have our folks in Germany. We have our folks in New Zealand. 11 people in New Zealand, and 11 in Australia. So let us know who you are. We've got people in the UK and a couple places. I don't know where they are. Canada, BRTR, FOR. I don't even know where those are, but I'll figure it out. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, at 40 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham, Sean Hannity.
The Democrats really do want to raise taxes. If they could, they'd cut and run. If they could, they'd institute the draft.
Late nights, 11 till 1 a.m. on Wham.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blixen and blixen and all.
Yeah, it pays to work for a company that owns 18 million radio stations of different formats. I can get any music I want.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the 24th of December, Anno Domini 2006. You're listening to the Christmas Eve edition of Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And it is 45 minutes after the hour. Before we get back to the phones, Microsoft has acknowledged a vulnerability in Vista. In fact, this vulnerability affects four versions of Windows, including Vista. The proof of concept code targets the client server runtime server subsystem, the CSRSS, that performs functions such as launching and closing applications. A user could launch malicious code within the CSRSS that would elevate his privileges on a computer, such as going from an ordinary user to an administrator. However, in order to use such an attack, a user would already have to be logged onto the machine or gain access to the network in some other way. Because of this, the vulnerability is rated as less critical. Still, The flaw could potentially let an attacker place a rootkit on a machine and scrub any trace of tampering with the machine. It's still a significant vulnerability, which administrators should pay a whole lot of attention to. Microsoft said it has not heard of any attacks using the vulnerability, but it is investigating the potential impact. If we're lucky, we'll see a patch coming out during Microsoft's next monthly visitor. Until then, we'll all just have to hold our breaths and hope.
I posted the patch for the Windows Daylight Savings Time fix in our link list.
Good.
That was released middle of November. So I started digging around Apple's website to see if they were going to release a patch. They did in last February.
Yeah.
So
and it came down as one of the updates.
Came down
and
in the standard updates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me also mention an early Christmas present for Intel Mac users. One of the big issues that new Mac users are focusing or having now is moving into the Intel-based Macs is that some of the high-end programs, especially Adobe Photoshop, don't run natively on the Intel Macs, and we're waiting for Adobe to release the Intel version. They have officially said second quarter 07 for the new Creative Suite, so we're still 4, 5, 6 months away, maybe. But they have released a free beta of Photoshop CS3, which does run native on the Intel Mac. And we've posted the link.
What was that word you used?
Beta. I've posted that link on the website for those of you that absolutely must try out the latest software. But do remember, this is a beta. It will crash. So back up your documents and your system often.
What's that
often.
Word you used?
That was a beta, and it
and
will
it will
crash.
Not may it, crash.
It will crash.
Will crash. That's what betas do.
For early reports say it's really, really fast, and of course it can crash really, really fast too.
I get this a lot. I'm sure you guys do too. Yep. I downloaded the beta of blah, 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 and I'm having trouble. Yes, yes, you are. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Call 1-800-MICROSOFT.
Yeah. First, we do not support other companies' beta products. Right. Yep. And secondly, betas are supposed to die. That's their job. You then are supposed to keep track of what you were doing and the state of your machine and send that back to them so they can fix it.
And fix
if
it.
You're running beta software as if it were real software, you deserve whatever you get.
Yep. And then sometimes, this goes back earlier to the Apple month of bugs, sometimes bugs aren't worth fixing. There's a bug in the Mac OS. It might not be there anymore from the OS 10 transition. If you try to print a purple ampersand on a black background on an ImageWriter LQ, your system will crash.
Cool.
That was a documented bug in you know, System 7, System 8, somewhere along there. Yeah. And they said they're not going to bother fixing it. It would take more manpower and money to find and fix that bug than the people who actually would run across that bug.
That's up there with, you know, folks trying to print a swan eating a marshmallow in a snowstorm.
There you go. We just have to wait a moment and absorb that. All right, now we can move on.
Gotcha.
Now we can move on. Our next caller is Dave. Thank you. Our next caller is Dave from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question? If it involves swans, snowstorms, or marshmallows, we're hanging up on you.
Oh, none of those. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
See, I got you guys in here. I had to think there for a second.
I hate when I have to do that.
Causes headaches, especially on rum balls.
Well, I've got a little bit of a dilemma here. What's going on is I do not get any sound out of my speakers. I get the, you know, Windows startup tune. When you play a game like the pinball, you get all the sounds. But when I play like a video clip that's been sent to me or anything out of my CD player, I get no volume whatsoever.
Now, do you hear anything out of the CD player at all?
The CD player is running. It comes up with the Windows Media Player, and it shows it's playing and counting down the time and showing.
All right, but the problem there could be is you might want to check on the if you open up the case, turn the machine off.
Okay.
There's got to be a cable that goes from the CD-ROM drive down to your sound card or the motherboard.
And for some of the other items, you want to check your sound control panel because you can set different inputs.
Yep.
So if you've accidentally set the MP3 input level to the microphone.
Or the CD input level
CD
is
input.
Off.
Yeah.
Hold on. Stay on the line, Dave, and we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. Got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 50 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
All right, you chipmunks. Ready to sing your song?
I'll say we are. Yeah, let's sing it now.
Okay, Simon?
Okay.
Okay, Theodore?
Okay.
Okay, Alvin?
Alvin.
Alvin!
Okay! Christmas, Christmas time is near.
Boy, did this bring me back.
Whoa.
You have Dominic the Christmas donkey?
Actually, you know, up till about 3 years ago, I actually thought that there were people that could talk that high.
Yeah.
They can. I've got a friend that sings the old toad every Christmas, has a Christmas sing-along and trivia contest, and I've got a friend, Jason, on my website. I have a video of him singing that in that voice.
Wow. Was helium involved?
Nope.
Just that we know of.
Just, yeah.
Do you have Dominic the Christmas donkey?
Just extra trite shorts.
Look at, yeah. Extra trite shorts?
And extra tight as well.
Those are trite. Can't you get something interesting? All right, Dave, are you still there?
I am.
Do you have the speaker control in the lower right corner, the little speaker icon?
Correct.
Double click on it.
Yes, I have.
And do you see the CD? You should have a series of
volumes.
Right, and then there's a mute box.
Right,
all of those look good.
You want everything? All the mute boxes should be unchecked, and all the volumes should be up high.
Yep, everything there looked good.
Well, that blows our answer.
Okay, thanks for calling. Yeah.
Why did you tell him to stay on the line?
That's my fault. I completely admit it. No. Doggone it!
I still think part of a CD. Now, was the CD ever playing before?
Yes, it was. I've got a CD player and a CD player burner.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried it in both, and I get the same response out of both.
Yeah,
do you have burner software living in the lower right corner? Is there an icon for the burner software?
No, there is not.
Come on, Dave. Work with me here. Yeah.
I'll guarantee you,
only one of those drives can be connected to the audio patch on the motherboard.
Or the aux. And if you don't have it set up in your control panel again for the aux, you're only going to get audio out of one of them.
And it may be that the cable has worked its way loose.
Yeah,
because the only thing that's really changed is I went and put Internet Explorer 7 in because...
There you go. Get rid of that. And
well, and that could explain some of the movie downloads you were getting.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
It changes the
codecs. Do you still have 709?
I've got the 7 is on there.
Yeah, try uninstalling it. Go back to 6 and see what happens.
It's like the other, like I said, 50-plus folks that I have talked to in the past few weeks. I guarantee you, if you go into the control panel under Add Remove Programs, uninstall IE7, all your problems will go away.
There's so many things that got screwed up by IE7.
Like I say, I have had 50-plus people call me and say they put 7.0 on there. I tell them, go and uninstall it. Call me back if it doesn't work. Nobody has called me back yet.
Yep.
All right, well, I can tell by the sound in my ear, which isn't, by the way, Dominic the Christmas Donkey, that we are done. We are done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Call early, call often. We can only take one call at a time.
Hey, guys, you have a Merry Christmas.
You too,
you know my friend. Saying? Have a merry, peaceful, blessed, quiet Christmas.
We got to thank everybody for listening to us. I mean, you know, the Antics Weekly, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we just have to thank everybody for listening.
God bless each and every
Absolutely.
One of you. Keep tuning in. We'll try to keep you entertained and informed. That's our job. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, for Mr. Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, we will be back here next Sunday, so it's not the final show of the year. But this is indeed Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
I'm Chip Davis.